And we've got Debbie to share with us this morning, this evening, which is awesome. So why don't we give her a hand just as she comes? Yeah? Fantastic.
I'm crying a bit. I don't know, just when we sing those songs, my heart breaks because there's so many people who don't know God. You know what I mean? There's people who will never experience that. You know, and it makes me desperate because it's up to us. It's up to us to actually speak this to other people. You know, and it's hard sometimes. You know, life can throw us stuff and we can feel really low. But this is what it's all about. This is it. There's nothing more. There's nothing less. It's Jesus. You know, and this is why we're here. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. Is I want to talk about living a life from an eternal perspective, because it's so easy to not. It's so easy to get caught up in the day-to-day running of things. It's so easy to get caught up with work, with finances, with uni assignments, with schoolwork, with relationships, with conflict. And it's just distractions. Those things are important. Yeah, it's important because God's given us wisdom to step through those things. But He's given us a greater call. There is way, way greater stuff than freaking out about things. There's the call of God in our lives, because if you've chosen Jesus tonight, if He's the leader of your life, then you've got a responsibility. But we'll get to that later. First of all, I want to throw down the words eternal and perspective, because it's easy just to grab words and think, oh yeah, I know what they mean. But until you break them down and chew on them for a bit, you don't truly understand what they're all about. And so I went to my little Oxford dictionary and I looked up eternal, and it said infinite time, endless life after death, and my favorite, a very long time. And you know what? We're eternal beings, which is quite a challenge for us, don't you think? Because in this culture, it's nothing to do about heaven or hell or afterlife. I don't know about you, but daily conversation does not include those words. It's all about, oh, dude, where am I going now? What am I doing now? What's happening now? Who's going where now? What is happening now? It's all about now. And we know, I mean, it's the inevitable truth, we're all going to die. I'm sorry, just in case, including onto that one, we're all going to die. And the thing is, that's the most important question we've got to ask ourselves. Where are we going? What's going to happen? And yet that seems to be the question last on people's minds, which just freaks me out, because this is what we're here for. You know, life isn't a dress rehearsal. And I looked in the Bible, because I don't know about you, but my perspective of heaven probably isn't that correct. I'm heavily influenced by what the world has shown me about what heaven is really like. I see, you know, those pearly gates. I see, you know, the angels lying on clouds playing harps. Is anyone feeling this? Do we think that? I know, I was shocked. I'm like, am I a Christian? This is shocking. This is shocking. But you know what? God describes, His description of eternal is eternity spent somewhere. It's not coming back. It's not becoming a dog, or I don't know what people think. But anyway, it's coming, it's spending eternity either in heaven or in hell. It's like, that's the truth. And so I looked up what heaven's all about. I've got to get rid of this picture of clouds and angels and stuff that is kind of boring and dull, don't you think? And let me read it. Revelation 21. Turn to it if you've got your Bibles. We're going to kick in to verse 3. And this is a picture that God is showing, who some people believe is John, one of the disciples of Jesus, in Revelation 21, verse 3. And it says, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with man, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And so heaven is a pretty untroublesome time. there's no mourning, there's no crying, there's no death, there's no pain. Heaven's pretty awesome. You know, and I think about heaven as well, and I think, man, if God's created this world just for us for this short amount of time, he knows we're going to expire. It's not a long-term plan he's got for this earth as this earth is. And so I'm thinking, dude, if he's happy just to spend all that time designing all this cool stuff like oceans and jungles, and guess what I was watching TV today, and did you know there's such a thing as a snapping alligator turtle? I know, it was awesome. It had like this beak and this tail, and it was a turtle. And it was like, and the guys were like, ooh, ooh, turtle, to a turtle. It was amazing. You know, that's the creativity of God. And when I think of that, and then I think, okay, heaven's for eternity. This is for short time. Dude, heaven's got to be awesome. It's got to be 10 times better than this place. And you know what? Added bonus, no pain. Awesome. In verse, what was that?
What a bargain.
What a bargain. It is actually, when you think about it. Down to verse 10, it says, and he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. And it shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper clear as crystal. And I could go on, because it talks about heaven, the beauty of heaven, the preciousness of heaven, the jewels that adorn heaven. And it just blows your mind. Completely blows your mind. And you know what? God's promised us this for us. In John 14, 1-3, it talks about how Jesus has gone ahead of us and said, I've prepared a place for you. If you put me as your king in your life, I'm making a room for you. It's going to have Bobby's name on it. It's going to have Caitlin's name on it, and it's going to be your room. I'm preparing a place. So it's not going to be some wilderness that we rock up into. Nah. Our relationship on earth builds into eternity. Our relationship on earth dictates what our eternal destiny is going to look like. That's something way bigger than what my 50-year plan may look like. All right. Let's break down perspective just quickly, eh? Because we've got eternal down, eh? We've got eternity down. We're sweet. We're sorted with it. Nice. Okay, so we've got perspective. Living life from an eternal perspective. I went to my Oxford Dictionary again. And it said, mental view of the relative importance of things. A mental view of the relative importance of things. So it's our vantage point. It's our perspective on life. It's how, it's like the lenses we look through that dictate to us how we think, how we act, and what we're going to do. It's our perspective. It's how we see things. And you know, there's a couple of perspectives that we can have. One of the perspectives we can have is the worldly perspective, where it's, this life is all we've got. There's nothing more to live for. Be happy. All gods lead to one God. Your truth is your truth. Just do what makes you feel good. That's the worldly perspective. But then we've got the eternal perspective on the other hand. The eternal perspective says life is short. Life is purposeful. You've been placed here for a reason. And because it's short, like I said, it's not a dress rehearsal. You're not here to play the game of life like H2O may tell you. It's a time where we build into our eternity. And it's a time that we need, that we've been mandated to go out and tell others about. We've only got, gosh, how many years have I only got? 50, maybe 60. Some have more, some have less. But we've got to be intentional about it. So it's important. It's important. So when we start living our lives from an eternal perspective, we start looking at our own lives differently. When we are living life from an eternal perspective, we view our lives extremely differently. The worldly view, rock on over here, the worldly view of seeing my life, let's take, for example, like troubles. So if troubles come into my life, and I'm standing here, and I'm feeling burdened by all these hardships, and people have been mean to me, and I'm having financial troubles, and I'm not doing good at school, and work is like stressing me out, and that's how we react. We're like, and yet, from the eternal perspective, we go, you know what? I know I'm going to face troubles. That's okay. Because I'm not looking at the trouble eye to eye, because the trouble's below me. I've actually got Jesus who's kind of conquered everything. And with him, I can face anything. So bring it on. Bring it on, because the Bible says, let's turn there, where is it? Oh, here we go, 2 Corinthians 4:17. I recommend the book of 2 Corinthians. I just finished reading it, it's really good. Okay, 4:17, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So I'm no longer standing here going, oh, woe's me, but I'm over here going, yeah, man, bring on the troubles, because this means I'm building a greater eternity for me. I'm building a greater destiny. Troubles, yeah, bring them on, because you know what? This is light stuff compared to the glory that I'm building for myself in eternity, so bring it on. You know what? Another thing is how we view ourselves. The world views is, I don't really know where I'm going to go to die. You know, there's no guarantee. People live life, and they live it with no safety net. They get insurance for their car, home, and contents, but where's their insurance for eternity, which is destined, it's going to happen? They've got squat. But over here, yeah, I'm sure. I'm actually not freaking out about dying. I could die tomorrow, I'd be a little sad. Some people may be sad as well. I kind of hope so. But you know what, I could die tomorrow, but I'm not stressed out. You know why? Because I've got a guarantee. I found Jesus, the life changer. I found the one who has given me more than enough and eternity in heaven. Yeah, yeah. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:5, now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Guarantee, eternity, ticks. Just like that. It's awesome. So you know what? When we live our lives through the lens of eternity, then we can stand with a certainty, the freedom that Jesus has given us, and know that the troubles we are facing are but momentary, but we're building for something greater. You with me? This is good. All right. Second point, point number two. When we are living life from an eternal perspective, we see others differently. Not just ourselves, but we see others differently. Okay, worldview. Oh, dude, that guy cut me off on the motorway again. Oh, that neighbor, their sound system is loud. I'm trying to get to sleep. Oh, that girl in class, why is she so mean? She's just so horrible. Why are you just so such a horrible person? Eternal view. Dude, that guy cut me off. What's up with him? What's happening? I wonder what's happening in his day. I wonder what's happening in his heart. What's going on that I don't know about? That girl at class, what's happening? What's her spiritual status like? Does she know Jesus? Does she know the answer to her problems? Does she know that even though she might be being mean, what's causing that? What's her home life like? You know, in Colossians 1, 22, I believe it is, it is somewhere on my page. Up the top. 2 Corinthians 5:16. It says, so from now on, regard no one from a worldly point of view. So God's saying, no, 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 cut it out. We're not going to be, no, no. We're not, that's not the view I've given you, dude. The view I've given you is a spiritual one. You've got to be looking deeper than this. You've got to figure out, what's their spiritual status? How can I help them? What can I do to see them come to Jesus? There's a deeper view, not the world view of people, but we've got to see people differently. You know, God is patient. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That's what he says. That's what he tells us in the Bible. It's all about our community. It's about our family. It's about our friends. It's about that annoying guy on the bus. It's about them. No longer regard people from the worldly point of view. Let's start looking at people differently. Not just the annoying guy. Rather, dude, that person's a child of God. He has a plan and destiny set out for him. God created him. So there's got to be more to this guy's life that he's completely missing out on. I want to be the answer. Yeah, I'll change his life because I know God can do that through me. Okay, my third and last point. This is a doozy, so hold on. You've got to be listening hard this time. When we are living life from an internal perspective, we engage with God's divine power, which is pretty awesome. You know what? As Christians, we're not here to make life all awesome for us. Well, it's part of it, because it is awesome once you get Jesus. But it's more than that. God calls us to something greater. He actually gives us a responsibility, but with that responsibility comes an authority that he's willing to back us up in no matter what. He's got our back. It's just us taking the step. 2 Corinthians, you can really tell I've been reading 2 Corinthians. It's a good book, I'm telling you. 2 Corinthians 10:3 to 4. Though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Okay, huge key God has just given us here. Okay, he's saying, no, I don't want you to try use the weapons that the world is using. Don't even go there. I'm giving you greater weapons, and you know what? It's going to demolish strongholds in people's lives. Now, when I read the word stronghold, I thought, what does that mean? Because you don't really use that word often. And you know what? I think it means people's pride, people's perspective, you know, pride, arrogance, mindsets that stop us from knowing the truth of who Jesus is. It's like a veil, you know, in the Bible it says that the God of this age, the enemy, has veiled the minds of unbelievers. He's put this cloud around them and they can't see through it, and it's a stronghold. It's keeping them caught in, and not seeing the truth. But you know what? God said, hold up. On the contrary, the weapons that he's giving us, they have divine power to demolish those strongholds. And so I believe that we've got three keys. There may be more. I've just found three, so we're going to roll with them. The three keys to demolishing strongholds. Part one. The power of the gospel. Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. The power of the gospel. Whoa. Okay, that's God's saying, okay, his power is expressed when we speak the gospel. Strongholds in people's lives, veils, things that are holding them back are going to be demolished when you speak the gospel. But you know what? It's not in your words. It's in his divine power. There's a formula here. Well, not a formula, but there's an activation key if you're some sort of superhero. There's an activation key here. God sees you talking to someone, like you're hanging out with your friends and you're talking wisdom that you've learnt from the Bible. Or you're talking about love that you've learnt from the Bible. You're talking about forgiveness that you've learnt from the Bible. You're talking about truth that you learnt from the Bible. And God goes, dude, you're speaking my gospel. I'm right behind you. Bring on my divine power. And you know what happens? The strongholds are demolished. That's what God's word says. Demolish strongholds. And we're just talking. That's all we're doing. Us girls are good at it. We're just talking. It's not that hard. You know, it's the activation key. I wish I had a little ring. You know, activate. Second point. Power of prayer. James 5:16. The power of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Now, if we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that means that we've been reconciled to God. That means that we're free from accusation. That means that we're blemish-free. That means we've been forgiven. So that means we're righteous. So all of us, righteous. Okay, we're righteous. And this is what the Word of God says. The prayer of a righteous man or woman is powerful and effective. Why? Why? It's because we're expressing and connecting with God's heart for people. look at that awesome life group. Remember the life group that stood up here this morning? And they said that they had a prayer book, right? And they would pray. They would pray for members in their life group. They would pray for family members. And they saw people healed of cancer. They saw an elder person being revitalized in their health. Oh, powerful, effective. God's divine power breaking down strongholds, which I guess could even include disease and sickness. Oh, that's getting pretty freaky, eh? Third point, power of our testimony. Revelation 12:11. They overcame him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb. So we've already got Jesus, so it's sweet there. And by the word of their testimony. Yet again, just talking. Just talking it out. We've got to remember, we've got to think of the things that God is doing in our lives and not just go, oh, thank you, God. But go, okay, God, what did you do? Looking back in your journal, what did I ask for? How did you come through for me? What was it? Where was the turning point? And remembering it, meditating on it, thinking how you could express it and share it with others. So when you are at work and they say, how was your weekend? You'd be like, oh yeah, well, I prayed for money because I'm finding it pretty tight at the moment. And someone just gave me like $200. But if you hadn't thought it through, you wouldn't have been ready. And if it wasn't in the forefront of your mind, you wouldn't have been able to say it. Because when you do say it, God goes, oh, 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 you're speaking your testimony. Divine power activation key. I'm in. Strongholds broken. Like that. Because you know what? It's not our strength. It's actually got nothing to do with how hard out we go or how hard out we think. It's all to do with speaking God. Speaking God. What has he done in our life? Oh, yeah, I'll gossip that. Oh, yeah, I'll talk about that. You know? What have I read in the Bible? Oh, yeah, I could apply that to this. Activation, man, divine power. When we realize God's divine power and engage with it in our own lives, we will see people coming to know him, being guaranteed eternal life in heaven, because that's the point, yeah? Yeah, building into eternity. As we do this, we are building into someone's eternal life. You know, when we live from an eternal perspective, our focus shifts. It shifts from that worldly perspective from over there to the eternal perspective. Everything's turned right round. Everything's just so opposite to what the world is saying. So let's shift it up a gear, guys. Let's shift our perspective to an eternal one. Even if our perspective is there already, let's ask God to shift it another gear up. Let's go, God, I want more. I want to see more because I'm feeling that I'm not desperate enough for those who don't know you. I'm feeling that I'm not hungry enough. And God, this is what you've called me to do. You know, the talents, the giftings that he's given you aren't there to make you feel happy. They're there to bring others into the kingdom. You know what I mean? They're good because when you express them, you express who you are and how God's wired you up. And it is. It's a good feeling. It feels great. But it's for the building of eternity into other people's lives and into your own. So we're going to grab the musos up now. And I want you to have a little think. Because I'm not going to go long on this, but I just want to ask you, if you know that you want prayer tonight because something's connected in your spirit, you're like, actually, yeah, I connect with that, Deb. Yeah, I connect with how I need to see my life differently. Yeah, I connect with how I need to see others' lives differently. Yeah, I connect that I need to get a better perspective of that divine power that God is calling me to engage into. Then come up the front. Gosh, we'll pray for you. We'll stand with you. Even if you just want to come up and say, yeah, God, putting my hand up because I'm in this. I'm in this for the long haul. Which is actually a short haul here, long haul up there. And I also want to give the opportunity, if there's people here tonight who this is kind of new to you. You may not have known God before, or you don't really know who Jesus is, but there's been a pounding in your heart, or there's been a warmth around you that you can't quite explain. And I want to tell you now that that's God knocking at your door of your life and saying, hey, how about it? Do you want to accept this gift of Jesus, who becomes the leader of your life and guarantees you eternity in heaven. Do you want to accept it? Because he's there, he's knocking, and he's asking the question. He's not going to barge in, but it's up to you whether you say yeah. So let's just quickly bow our heads. Let's close our eyes, because this is a moment between you and God. And I want to give the opportunity, if there is anyone here, to do that now, to say, yes, Jesus, I want you as the leader of my life. I want to guarantee heaven for eternity. So every head bowed, every eye closed. If that's you tonight, feel free. Just pop your hand up so I can see it. Just want to give the opportunity. You know, it's our responsibility to ask the question. So that's why I'm doing this tonight. Because I don't want to miss anyone. Feel free to put your hand up if you want to. Okay, that's cool. That's cool. Let's stand, eh? Let's stand. We're going to sing now. And if you do want prayer, come up.